This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, happy Wednesday, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 2nd, episode 1372, brought to us today by listeners like you, our auditors. Thanks, guys. Good morning, horse world.
It's Wednesday. Today is Wednesday.
He's a very mixed up horse.
Authorization acknowledged.
You know what they say about Wednesday.
Yabba-dabba-doo!
Have a good Wednesday. Thanks.
It is Wednesday. We're so happy to have you here with us today. Can I talk to you about one of the craziest things ever, Jamie?
This is so crazy.
It's just, so I'm not sure what the impetus of this was and where Ground Zero was, but you know, 2 years ago, we posted this video of Scooter rolling in the water and it went crazy viral and got a little less than a million views. And, you know, it was pretty popular. Last weekend, I showed it at the PodFest, you know, as part of my keynote speech. Actually, Scooter opened the keynote speech, and my lesson was this. After he introduced me, they just played the video. So as I'm walking up for my keynote speech in front of all these podcasters, Scooter's playing, splashing around in the water. And my lesson was that I really screwed up because I didn't brand the video. I didn't put our logo on the video because it was just going to be a video of my pony playing in the water. Who the hell thought it would do this? So that was my lesson.
That's a good lesson.
Yeah, well, it was a good lesson. And now it's an extremely good lesson because something happened over the weekend that I don't know if one of them posted it or somebody, a horse person, just found it deep in the archives. I mean, this was years ago. Deep in the archives of our videos on Horses in the Morning. I don't know what happened. But somebody was Ground Zero, and I want to kiss him on the mouth. Because as of, what, 4 days, over the last 4 days now, that video now has over 3 million views, has been shared 90,000 times. 3,200 comments, and we have picked up almost 8,000 new likes on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page for the last 4 days.
What? That is so unbelievable.
You know,
that's unbelievable.
When they talk about something going viral, you know, unless it's your thing that's going viral, you know, you just sort of say, oh, that's nice. You really don't appreciate when something goes viral. It's just crazy how the numbers multiply. You know, I thought it would die yesterday, and it, you know, we picked up what, another 3,000 likes last night, but after we went to bed. So we're over 20,000 likes on the Horses in the Morning page, and a good half of those is thanks to my pony, Scooter. He got extra treats, by the way, yesterday.
Did he?
Yes, he did. And it went to his head because this morning he was a brat. So I think that the diva, you know, he's now becoming a diva. And can boys be divas, by the way?
I think so. Yeah, yeah. I would call him Divalicious.
Can you believe that? We remember on Monday, we said, where are all these new likes coming from? What did we post? And we were looking, we couldn't find it. And then we even looked after the show on Monday to try and figure, we got like 300 or 400 during the show. And we thought it was us, you know, that we were doing something wonderful. No, it's a cute little pony rolling in the water. Has nothing to do with us.
Me.
So
but,
I would like
but you branded it this time and it translated into likes, which on our Facebook page, which what great. That's great people. But you know what? That's 7,000 people that might listen to our show. That's 7,000 people that might hear what we do. 7,000 people that might pick up a piece of learning about their horses from our show and or be entertained and or hate us and laugh at us or whatever. But I mean, at that 7,000 people who potentially could hear the show.
That's correct. And Scooter has a message for Thor. It's
oh my God, he did not. Oh, I am. Thor is coming. Oh my God, Thor! Hold on, Thor is right outside my window. He's pointing in there, going, "Oh, he's mouthing, 'I'm coming for you, Scooter. I'm coming for you.'"
Can you imagine if we ever did get Scooter and Thor together? How much that would be disastrous. Those two would just play till they were both dead.
Actually, Thor is a murderer, so I wouldn't put him in. I wouldn't turn our horses out together if you know it's good for you. Poor little Zeus is like, "What is wrong with this horse?" I'm like, "Dude, you're tough. You're a Mustang. You got to be turned out with the monster." Like, I turned Thor out with Jet and Jacob first when he first got here, and that's his herd. Like, he would not allow anybody else to come in that group. And since Jet moved, I've tried every horse and he's tried to kill all of them. So I'm like, "You know what? You're a Mustang. You're going out." Cause I can't have 24 horses in one pasture and two in the other. It's just doesn't work like that. So I feel bad for Scooter. Like, and add to the pressure of this viral thing, and Thor's probably really mad at him. All right. I got to do another video.
You need something viral. But see, that's the thing about viral videos is 99% of the time you don't know. I mean, and it's the stupid stuff that goes viral.
Quit bragging. Ugh, it's disgusting.
So I am officially declaring this Scooter Day and that he is the most popular pony in the world. And I don't think anybody could argue with that right now. With over 3 million views. I don't think that anybody could argue. Not even Thor.
I'm arguing. But Thor's coming for you, Scooter. He's looking at me through the window right now. "You tell that little pony I'm coming for him." All right, it's on. This is a challenge.
All right. You got a long way to go there, buddy.
I got to wait a couple weeks.
Well, maybe he'll do it on his own and you'll happen to catch it on video. Just do me a favor and put a logo on it. Okay.
Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. I'll brand my viral video. It ain't going to be you. It's going to be Thor's page. Forget horses in the morning. Unbelievable. Jennifer, save us. What's coming up on today's show? I'm coming for you.
Coming up on today's Too Weird to Be True Wednesday edition, once we have covered our co-host's idle yet engaging chit-chat, the Haggard Equine Medical Institute Horse Health Report has the latest on the latest outbreak of EHV. And then galloping across the finish line, we've got crappy lists and unlikely headlines aplenty. And my favorite, happy National Banana Cream Pie Day, everybody. Please celebrate responsibly.
Ugh, banana cream pie. You know how I like mushy bananas.
Yeah.
Well, my Daily Winnie goes out to three new auditors that we have. Andrew Dixon, another guy. Yes, we are going to rule. We're going to dominate here in another 10 years. We might have enough to beat the women. Andrew Dixon, Marie Cornell, and Maggie Spring. And Marie has a message for you, Jamie. Let me bring that up on my Facebook. She sent me a private message that said, "I have learned so much from all the shows, and now I have a Mustang fever thanks to Jamie."
Woo-hoo!
I started out with the Western radio show. Now my go-to is Hit 'Em, but I listen to all of them if I have time. So you might have another Mustang owner here soon. So good job there, Jamie, representing the Mustang world.
That's awesome. I just couldn't be more in love with my two. So
I think you've inspired a lot of people, actually. That's not the first one we've heard from.
Well, I can't tell you that I've started them all from scratch because they've been gentled, but there's the TIP program. You need to look it up, you guys, if you're interested in getting a Mustang. They send Mustangs to these trainers, and the trainers get them gentled to where they I think they have to accept a bridle and saddle. I don't think they get ridden though, but to where you can handle the Mustang and touch the Mustang and everything. And this is the BLM's effort to get these horses out of holding pens. And so it's the TIP program, different than the horse, you know, you got to Google Mustang with it because Thoroughbred has its own TIP program too. But if you do that, it's a trainer incentive program and you can still adopt the Mustangs for $125.
Oh, really?
And they're, yeah. And so the trainer gets paid, because I looked into being one of these trainers someday. The trainer gets paid like $600-$700 from the BLM. And because they're keeping the horse for a couple months while they're training it. So you still get to adopt the horse for $125, but the horse is handled and gentled. So that makes it much easier for the common horse owner like me, who has no business or facility for getting a totally wild one. Not all of us can be Elisa Wallace, even though we dream about it at night.
So, and some of us are like our face is not kicked in.
Our face is not kicked in, or just don't have the time.
You really do need the facility. You need the round pen. You need the things you need to get that done.
The 6-foot fences. Yes. I mean, who has all that stuff? So if you want to adopt one, you can actually.
I thought that they would be in the $1,000 to $2,000 range through that program.
No, it's still the $125 adoption fee. So you can, I'll find the link when you're talking, since I don't pay attention when you talk anyway.
I know.
I'll find the link and I'll post it on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page, because it's like online shopping for horses.
I can talk about Scooter some more if you need time.
Oh, dear God. I'll have 20 minutes to search the web. You there?
Yes, I'm here.
Is it my turn?
That's your daily winning time.
Oh my God, it took you long enough to get to it. I forgot you'd already done yours. Mine, my poor little friend, Lucky, bless his heart. Lucky, for those who don't know, is he's a basset hound that somebody shared his video on my Facebook page, and he was at the local pound and he had been dropped off by his owners. People had basically, oh, we're moving, we're not taking him anymore. So they just dump him at the High Kill Animal Shelter. So somebody shared the video because some angel of a volunteer goes in there every day and videos the dogs and posts them on their Facebook page.
That's a calling right there.
Man, yeah. That is, can you imagine doing that? Woo, heartbreaking. So somebody goes in there, finds a video posted on my page, and then because they knew that I had had an older basset hound before. So I call the pound, of course, after calling my husband hysterically crying. I have to have him! I need him. Okay. So I got, after calling my husband saying that, I called the pound.
She's not joking, people. I'm not. The sad part is she's not joking.
I'm definitely not joking. Oh God. And I'll be home in an hour. Okay. Calm down. Calm down. That's just Chad. So anyway, I called the pound and I started inquiring about him, and he's an owner drop off. So they have to hold him for 48 hours. But he's been deemed unadoptable. So after the 48 hours, he's pretty much out of there. So I freak out and basically I'm like, figure out that he's got till like the next night, and it was closing time. So I showed up there first thing in the morning and adopted him. And oh my God, the health problems. Woo! Doggy. Now, I wish I would have had better vets from the start. I went to a couple of those vets where, you know, it's like the corporate vets where they just try to sell you stuff even if you don't need it. So I kind of got screwed a little bit at the onset. But then I found a guy who's amazing, and his name is Dr. Killian, and we've been going to see Dr. Killian every other Monday since, when did I adopt him? Like October?
Boy, has it been that long? Really?
Yeah, yeah. November maybe.
Well, he was there when we came to visit, so.
Yeah, when did you come visit?
We came in. I have no idea anymore.
Yeah, so I've had him for 5 months at least. And so we've been going to the vet every other week. Now, the GoFundMe that we had set up before really took care of his teeth. He had to have oral surgery and he had tumors in his mouth. It was a total disaster. Well, that is all taken care of. The good news is his mouth is totally fine. The bad news is bless Dr. Killian's heart, we have done cultures and antibiotics and then more. We've even tried holistic medicine. A veterinarian prescribed me holistic medicine because he just was like,
for his ears?
Yes. So the problem is, like, you lift up his ears, if you're having breakfast, turn it down for a second, there's a constantly pus leaking out of his ears. It's awful. And Chad is like, that is the stinkiest dog ever. I'm like, don't be that mad at him. He can't help it. We're trying. So this past Monday, Dr. Killian kind of threw his hands up and he's like, I can do no more. I have done everything, because we don't want to do like a big surgery and remove his ear canals. I don't want to do that. So he said, you have to go to a specialist. And the specialist is a dermatologist.
I was going to say, is there an ear, nose, and throat doctor for dogs?
I know, right? No, it's like he said, you have to go to a dermatologist. So I called to schedule the visit for the dermatologist. Oh, my God. Glenn, do you know how much an office visit just to walk in the door and talk to the doctor cost?
First of all, is there a dermatologist for animals?
Yes. There's an eye care specialist in the same office as a dermatologist. They're only here on this side of town 1 day a week. So I got the one appointment that they had tomorrow. To walk in and talk to the doctor is $190 for the office visit.
Welcome to my specialty.
Oh my God.
Helping people relieve themselves of their heavy wallets. That's my specialty.
I'll take that appointment. That'd be great. Okay, well, we're going to need you 15 minutes early to set up some stuff, and we're going to need a valid credit card because the office visit is $190. I was like,
and we are going to need at least room for $1,000 in charges on that.
Exactly. And I was like, I'm sorry. I don't think I understood. I think you broke up a little bit. What? But what am I going to do? Lop his ears off? I mean, I can't just let him suffer like this. And I mean,
is he in pain?
Yes. Yeah. You can't even touch. Like people, when they see a basset hound, they want to just.
Yeah. You want to grab the ears. That's the first thing you want to do.
And if you do that, he just screams. Oh, he just screams. And every once in a while, he steps on his own ear, you know, like basset hounds do. And he just yelps. And it's just heartbreaking. And he's just such a good dog. You guys met him. He's just so wonderful. So
he is. And, you know, this dog just, and anybody seen the pictures can tell this, he just wants to be the happiest dog in the world. I mean, he realizes he has hit the jackpot with Jamie, and he just wants to be the happiest dog in the world.
He was the best road trip dog ever. We took him to Carson City to go adopt Zeus, and he was just in hog heaven. 4 days on a road trip with mama for a basset hound, 4 days in the car, greatest 4 days ever. And we were at hotels, so he got to sleep in bed with me.
With the stinky ears? God.
Yeah, well, we were still on the holistic medicine then. I kept it at bay, but once we were done with it, it just came right back. And that's the problem is all these meds like kind of keep things at bay. And then when they run their course, so we've done triple courses of antibiotics that culture tested it. Anyway, it was crazy. So we're working on it. We're working on it too. But I just wanted to keep you guys posted.
Well, that's a tough one. I don't know. Yeah. Oof. This has been going on what seems like forever, so I can't imagine what it must be like for you.
It's pretty brutal.
And you know what's funny is when we first chatted with you about doing the show, and longtime listeners are going to think this is funny. When we first chatted with you about doing the show many years ago, it was 6 years ago now, one of my concerns about you that I told Jennifer was that you had been in mainstream radio for so long in Atlanta that I didn't think you would be squishy and compassionate.
There's a reason I didn't work out in the big time radio.
Now, I didn't think it would go the other way where you would become a blubbering mess, but there we go. That was one of my concerns about hiring you in the first place.
They'd be like, Jamie, stop crying. Okay. Stop crying. But like those Christmas things where we would do really nice things for family at Christmas, I was like bawling. And then like the radiothons where you're doing Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, trying to raise money for them. I'm like, just take my wallet. Just take it. Good Lord. I donated and gave away more money in Atlanta radio than I've made. Oh, okay. You just can have it. Like, just take, here's my car.
Ellen just wrote, Dr. Ellen from Manhattan said, don't even get me started on specialty vet fees. That vet visit would be $600 here in New York City.
And she's a
cancer doctor. It's probably more than the kids pay to come in for their first visit with them.
God bless. That's another thing, man. You want to get kids involved. Do you need my finger? Cut it off. Take it.
All right, let's do some news.
Okay, I've got some kind of exciting news. I wanted to let you guys know a little bit about what's going on the Kentucky Derby Trail. And there's a bunch of horses that are kind of coming up that are setting the stage.
Yeah, we haven't started to pick our favorites yet.
I know. Well, there's going to be a huge clash with the West Coast unbeaten star Nyquist and then the winner of the East, like the top leader in the East Coast. And it's going to happen in Florida. It's going to be huge. The Florida Derby, Sunland Florida Derby. That's going to be the big, like, final stepping stone where East Coast meets West Coast, and the winner of that is going to go to the Derby, and they're both going to go to the Derby and face off again. So anyway, one of the horses, like the East Coast favorite horse right now, and he's leading all of the Derby prep stuff, is a horse named Mohayman, M-O-H-A-Y-M-E-N, like Mohayman. Okay. Mohayman.
Mohayman.
So he's a son of Tappet, of course, because everybody is a son of Tappet who's fast nowadays. And then he ran this weekend, and this was supposed to be like, this was the ExpressBet.com Fountain of Youth Stakes, $400,000 stakes race at Gulfstream Park this past weekend. And I've got it for you. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, let's take a listen.
Let's see how he does. He's undefeated.
If the video will only play.
Oh yeah, it took a second for me to load it too. Sorry.
Will?
So another horse that's in the running is a horse named Zulu, which is a Todd Pletcher horse, and he's in this race as well. So Mohayman is kind of leading the role. Then you've got Nyquist and you've got Zulu involved, which I love that name. It's so cool. But Kira McLaughlin is the trainer of Mohayman.
The outside there stall.
It only took a minute for the announcement.
Steps up and in, and they're all in line. They're off in the Fountain of Youth and away to a perfect start. Zulu is sent out of there to show some early speed. Awesome Banner's a little bit quicker, though, and Awesome Banner gets right to the rail. Awesome Banner with Zulu will sit second now. A length off of him, and then Awesome Speed to the outside, followed by Longshot Golden Ray, and Mohayman is fifth early on, while Fellowship will trail the field as they make their way around that first turn. It is Awesome Banner in front by a length and a half, with Zulu running in second. Awesome Speed is third, racing on the outside of a hard-to-control Golden Ray, who's fourth at the rail, and Mohayman sidles up alongside of him, four lengths off the lead. The trailer is Fellowship, and the quarter was 23-2. So they move on to the backstretch here with Awesome Banner leading the way in the Fountain of Youth, and Zulu also undefeated second, and Mohayman, the three undefeated horses, 1, 2, 3 up the back stretch. Awesome Speed follows in fourth. After that, it's Golden Ray, who's being ridden to keep up, and the trailer is Fellowship. The half is up in 47 seconds flat, and they're moving into the far turn, and Zulu takes the lead. Zulu has taken over on the far turn from Awesome Banner, and Mohayman is right alongside of them, and the three of them head around the far turn, four lengths clear of Awesome Speed, who's been passed now by Fellowship, and Fellowship's about to go past stablemate Awesome Banner on the far turn. In the meanwhile, Zulu and Mohayman have run three quarters in 111 flat, and they're coming to the top of the stretch of the Fountain of Youth. Fellowship is trying to come and get them from third, and they're into the stretch, and it's Mohayman who has taken the lead on the outside. Mohayman to the front, pulling away from Zulu. Fellowship is third as Mohayman pulls away. And Mohayman remains unbeaten, winning the Fountain of Youth over Zulu. And then it was Fellowship, followed by Awesome Speed.
He was on the outside, too, so he rolled, ran even farther. So he's ready for the distance. So Mohayman is one name to watch. And then we'll keep you guys up to date with the Florida Derby, because Nyquist is the undefeated West Coast champion versus Mohayman on the East Coast. It's going to be good. And now they're saying that the Derby basically is like too late, because the showdown is going to happen at the Florida Derby. So should be interesting. Now I have another little happy story for you. Do you want the dramatic story or the comeback story? Glenn, are you there?
Comeback story. Sorry, I had myself on mute.
There you go.
Sorry.
I'm like, excuse me, just because I'm talking racing doesn't mean you can go look at Scooter.
We've only been doing this for 8 years. What the hell do I know?
Comeback story or the like secret
comeback
agent?
Story.
Okay, I'll do them both then eventually. Anyway, the comeback story of the year is Lady Eli. Lady Eli was a horse last year who was trained by Chad Brown, and she was undefeated. She ran ran about four stakes races and was just amazing. And then she won a race. She won a race over 2¾ lengths in the Belmont Oaks Invitational Stakes on July 4th. Following her victory, you know, they have to go to the test barn, which is where they test their urine and make sure they're not doing drugs. And then she was being led back to the barn, and she stepped on a nail with her left front foot after winning a stakes race. Mm. Stepped on a nail. The nail was removed from the, by the vets, but after about a week, she began showing laminitic changes in her right front. So then Lady Eli gets laminitis in her right front. Then Lady Eli gets laminitis in her left front.
Because that's what happens.
That's always what happens. And, you know, laminitis is, that's what killed Secretariat. Like, laminitis is a is just one of the worst killers ever. We should do a segment on laminitis just to remind everybody how awful it is and how you can cause it in your own horse. But this obviously was different. So she developed laminitis. Guess what?
She's back to racing?
Back at the track.
Really?
She recorded her first work this past weekend. She is back running again.
That like never happens.
I know. I know. She is amazing. She's back. She's running again. She's so beautiful. And the work, well, you know, they record all of the timed works. And bless her heart, it was the slowest of the day. But I'm sure they weren't pushing her and they were just trying to like ease her back into work. But is that not the coolest comeback story ever?
That is really
like
cool.
The craziest story, but then the coolest story all in one. I love it.
Very cool. Because you don't often hear about horses even surviving, let alone.
No, yeah. No, especially not getting back to racing. So sometimes they just have these huge hearts that just want to keep going.
Very cool. I have. Do you want to tell the other story?
Kind of.
Okay, go ahead.
It's kind of exciting. So have you heard of a horse named Irish Pharaoh?
No, uh-uh.
He's the fourth foal from Little Princess Mama. He is by the horse Pioneer of the Nile. Does those bloodlines sound
kind of
familiar?
Kind of sounds familiar, yes.
Yes, American Pharaoh has a foal brother. He has actually a couple full brothers, but Irish Pharaoh, let's see, was just sold. The full brother to the Triple Crown winner American Pharaoh has been sold by his breeder, Summerwind Farm. They will not tell you who bought the horse, and they are not announcing how much. The Jane Lyon, who owns Summerwind, told was quoted saying that under the terms of the transaction, she could not reveal the buyer or the purchase price for Irish Pharaoh. Now, read
$29.95.
This is so expensive. We can't even talk about it. He still remains in the U.S., so he has not been shipped out of the U.S. She was able to tell us that. He's got four white socks and a blaze. He's stunning. And again, she named him Irish Pharaoh. So he's the fourth foal from Little Princess Mama. Now, they do have a full... American Pharaoh has a full sister.
Okay, $39.95.
I'm sure. But three easy installments at $39.95. You know that she has a full sister? American Pharaoh has a full sister named American Cleopatra, who is owned by the Zayats. And then she also foaled a filly by Tappet on February 13th, and they are going to breed her back to Pioneer of the Nile. Man, when you get a Triple Crown winner, don't breed to Tappet. Breed to the same dang horse every single time and see if you get another one. Why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you? You got the horse of a lifetime. Yes, you try again.
Try again. Just keep going.
And again. Again.
Wouldn't that be funny? Two horses winning the Triple Crown that were like full siblings. Oh my God. It's like storybook stuff. Okay. Sorry. Anyway.
Well,
so,
now, and one other note on racing before we get off of that and get into the world of horse health here coming up. California Chrome won a, you know, a, what do they call those?
He won a prep race
over in Dubai, getting prepared for the $10 million World Cup. So he won that prep race kind of handily. I'd play the race for you, but the announcer was the boringest announcer I've ever heard. And oh, by the way, in Dubai, they have British announcers too. I don't know what it is. I think there's a British announcer school, and by law, you have to have a British announcer no matter where you race in the world. But he was absolutely the most boring thing ever. Just, you know, suffice it to say, California Chrome is back. He is on the trail, has a good shot at the $10 million coming up. He's now 5 years old. He won, you know, you know, everybody knows what California Chrome has done. But so it was so good to see him back and actually winning a race again. Victor Espinosa said that it's a short period of time from now until the next race. I didn't want to be empty in the tank today, and he wasn't. He was very thrilled. He was very satisfied. They feel really good about the race coming up. Art Sherman feels really good about it. But then Art Sherman has felt good about every race he's ever run. So that's not anything new. But California Chrome will be watching him in Dubai for the $10 million World Cup coming up.
Goodness great. I think he's looking better than he did last year at it. I mean, this prep race, he won easily.
Yeah, it was.
And I told Glenn, I was like, let's play it. He was like, no. Oh, it's too boring.
Yes. So. It was really boring. It was awful.
It was really boring.
Yes. So. One other story here. We'll change gears a little bit and talk a little bit of fun. Well, as everybody knows, it's spring training time in baseball. Jamie knows that for sure.
We're going to a game tomorrow.
Are you really? Who does spring training in where you are?
Everybody who's not
in Florida
right now. So this is the Cactus League is out here, and you've got the Grapefruit League. Actually, we're going on Friday. Excuse me,
because cool.
Lucky's appointment.
Who are you seeing on Friday?
It doesn't matter.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
We don't even care. We know we won't be able to see the Giants, Chad's team, because the San Francisco Giants tickets, because they've won the World Series so many times, are like $40 for standing room only. It's crazy. But most of the other ones are very cheap.
You know what I know about baseball? You could fit in the thimble.
I just told you.
Yeah, exactly.
That's pretty much it.
We were in Tampa over the weekend, and we passed George Steinbrenner Stadium. So I'm assuming the Yankees do their spring training in Tampa. Because we passed George Steinbrenner Stadium.
George Steinbrenner Stadium?
In Tampa.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, and it's a nice stadium. It's really nice. So the Yankees practice well, I assume, in Tampa. But anyway, the Mets switched to another New York team.
Oh, God. Why would you bring them? You're not allowed to say that name.
I can't even say the name of the person. Mets, $75 million outfielder. This is the headline of the article. Mets, $75 million outfielder is now riding a horse to practice. Apparently, Mets outfielder, is it Giannis Cepedes? I don't know how to say his name. He signed a $75 million contract this offseason, and he's caused quite a stir. Showing up to training, and by the way, he's spending all $75 million on cars. He has showed up to training in cars worth like $500,000 and a different one every day. Well, yesterday, instead of showing up in a car, he showed up riding a horse. And he was also with the Mets pitcher, Noah...
Cespedes. That's Cespedes.
Is it Cespedes?
Cespedes.
There you go. Well, he showed up with the Mets pitcher, who was also riding a horse. The article goes on to say it's unclear how much money they spent on the horses, but it's safe to say that it was a lot less than the cars they drove to work in the previous days. So everybody's waiting to see what he shows up with tomorrow. He didn't waste any time. He signed the $75 million contract in the offseason, and I think he spent almost half of it. So
okay, like, not to be whatever, because I think the Mets are possibly the most evil team in the history of baseball. But the fact that Cespedes and Syndergaard are riding horses to spring training, kind of cool. Like, you know, like maybe they'll get traded to the Braves. I'm just saying. Then it would be awesome. But
that'd
those
be
guys,
really, it'd be so much better. And they may be, they'd be riding better horses too. We don't know.
Yes.
Yes.
They might be. But yeah, that's awesome. But those guys have such a good time. I mean, spring training is so fun because you can go all the way down to the field and they'll autograph things. It's just a much more relaxed atmosphere for baseball, and it's really fun. So if you are in Arizona or Florida this time of year, it is really fun to go to some baseball games because it's it's a training feel, you know. This time last year was when we got Lucas to meet the Dodgers guy. What's his name that you were impressed about?
Lasorda.
Tommy Lasorda. Yep. The one baseball player you knew.
Yeah. Can you please write this down, Jennifer, that I have now done my one baseball story of the year and I'm good? Can you write that down?
Got it.
Okay.
Check
good.
The box.
Yeah,
I've
checked.
Don't worry. I'll give you a play-by-play on Friday of the game we go to.
You know, when we travel to Lexington, to Kentucky, we are happy to stay at the Clarion Hotel in Lexington. It's where we stay every time the hosts are in Lexington, Kentucky. If you have not booked your hotel accommodations for Road to the Horse or for Rolex, you might be screwed. I don't know. You might want to give them a call and see if they still have rooms left. But anytime you're in Lexington, take a look at the Clarion Hotel. Your rate includes a free breakfast every morning, free Wi-Fi, free airport shuttle to and from the airport if you're flying in. And also, they have a great restaurant. And I wanted to tell everybody, we're going to be announcing next week a meetup during Road to the Horse, because I know we have a lot of listeners coming into Road to the Horse. We're going to do a meetup for dinner one night at Cortland Southern Kitchen at the Clarion Hotel. Mary Kitzmiller and I will be there. So if you want to come over and say hi, we're going to figure out which day. I'm going to talk to Mary today, and we're going to kind of work that out. So we'll announce that next week for anybody that wants to come for a meetup at Cortland Southern Kitchen at the Clarion Hotel. They also have a bourbon bar with a bourbon sampler at the Sports Page Bourbon Bar and Grill. It's on Newtown Pike. It's a huge swimming pool indoors. Great if you have kids. And also, it's only 10 minutes from the horse park, so it's easy to get to. So that is clarionhotellex.com. And don't forget that we are providing the only live coverage from Road to the Horse. We'll be there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And for the first time ever in Road to the Horse history, Tootie has asked us to do live play-by-play coverage on Finals Day on Sunday. So Mary Kitzmiller and I will be there. She'll be doing the serious training stuff, and I will be the fluff, as usual. But at least you'll have a serious trainer who's competed there twice telling you really what's going on. And that's all coming up on the Horse Radio Network in the next couple of weeks, and we're very excited to be heading to Lexington. Speaking of Lexington, there's something that we're also really excited about, and for the first time ever, they get our official bumper.
It's time for the Horses in the Morning Horse Health Report, when our intrepid hosts, together with an unlucky member of the equine veterinary trade, attempt to inform, enlighten, or terrify horse owners everywhere into funding a Kickstarter campaign to mass-produce Kevlar-coated, bubble-wrap-lined equine products.
Oh, and just as I was about to bring him in, he disappeared, Jennifer.
Oh, no. Did we lose Dr. Slovis?
Uh-oh. We did.
I'll call him back.
It says terminated calls, so I don't know what happened. It's just...
He was tired of listening to us.
I had that timed perfectly, too. I really did. We're very excited about this. This is the first time that Haggard is going to join us. Everybody knows the name Haggard, Equine Medical Institute in Lexington, Kentucky. And, we're very excited to have them on board, and they're going to be joining us every Wednesday. Remember how the horse used to come on years ago for the listeners from the beginning? Well, remember the horse used to come on every week and do the medical updates. It was a very popular segment that we did every week. And then for various reasons, they couldn't continue to do that anymore. We've been kind of piecemealing it ever since then. Well, Haggard has kindly agreed to come on board and to join us every week with a different vet, because they have like a million of them. So we're going to be talking about many different topics. You know, a lot of those topics that we visited all those years ago, you know, it's been, what, 4 or 5 years since we've talked about them. So it's time to revisit some of the topics that we did 4 or 5 years ago, because we have new listeners and you forget. I mean, you forget about them and you forget what you were supposed to do, and then you have to go look it up in the archives. Well, we're going to take a fresh new look at a bunch of those topics here coming up in the world of horse health with Haggard, and Jennifer's going to try and get them back on the line now.
It's exciting because it's Haggard. I mean, they're like so legit. It's just amazing.
It is.
I mean, that's like the biggest place in Kentucky, to Equine Hospital in Kentucky. It's amazing.
And now they're also in Wellington. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, they're in Florida now as well. They opened a spot in Florida. And we're going to, I'll talk to Dr. Slovis if we can get him back on here about that. And we'll hear a little bit more about Haggard. And today we're going to talk about EHV1, which is, if you follow the horse news at all, is in the news everywhere in this country right now. So let's try this again. We are going to welcome Dr. Dr. Nathan Slovis to the show today. He's director of the McGee Center at the Haggard Equine Medical Institute. He's published over 50 manuscripts in both national and international peer-reviewed journals. And there's a whole rest of his introduction, his bio, and I can't read half the words. So good morning, Dr. Slovis. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Well, you know, we're so happy to be doing this collaboration with Haggard and to really cover some topics that we've talked about in the past on the show, but that we can take a new look at today, like we're going to talk about EHV1. But I just want you to tell us a little bit about Haggard for the two people in the audience that don't know who you guys are. Maybe just a little bit of a bio of Haggard.
Yeah, sure. Our clinic is one of the oldest veterinary hospitals for horses in the world. We've been established here in Kentucky for over 140 years. We have over 60 veterinarians working with us. That includes board-certified veterinarians from surgery to reproduction to internal medicine. We have over 230 employees, not including the veterinarians. Our campus is over 100 acres. We are the equivalent, if you're looking at human hospitals, you know how they talk about human hospitals, how many beds they have?
Yeah.
We have the equivalent of over 120-bed hospitals. So
wow.
We have over 120 stalls just for critical care patients as well as our hospitalized patients. That does not include the reproductive stalls that they use for bringing in mares to get ready to be bred with frozen semen or all variety of different ailments those mares may have. But yeah, so we're quite a large hospital that's been established for 140 years, and we're still tackling the equine herpes virus that was here over 140 years ago. So nothing's really changed with that virus.
You know, I didn't realize that the hospital was that big. You know, you see it. I drove by it all the time. We lived in Lexington. You know, you see it, but I didn't realize it was that large.
Yeah, no, it is right across the street from the Kentucky Horse Park. So it's right off 75. It's really easy to get in and out of. And any type of feature that a human hospital has, you know, we pretty much have it here. Anything from an MRI to nuclear imaging to ventilator therapy for some of our sick foals that, you know, some of these foals that have herpes virus may need a ventilator. We have a variety. Name it, we have it.
When that was what I, when I toured Haggard many, many years ago, I was so impressed by what I would call like, and you probably, I don't know what you guys call it, but it's like a neonatal unit. There's like a, when all these thoroughbred babies are born, that's where they go if they have problems, is to Haggard. You guys are world renowned. And I just remember going, and it was just like this triage unit of foals in this whole, and every horse had its own caretaker. It was absolutely amazing. Is that called the neonatal unit? What do you guys?
Yeah, exactly. Yep, it's called the neonatal ICU unit, or as humans would call it, the specialists would call it NICU unit.
NICU.
It's an abbreviation. But yeah, you're absolutely right. We see more foals than any other equine hospital in the world. You know, right now we're approaching 100 sick foals. I'm not talking about just routine foals that come on there with their mares that are sick. I'm talking sick neonates. And a neonate is an animal that is less than 7 days of age. They come in here with life-threatening issues. So we're already up to about 100 right now. Back in the day, when I'm talking about when the economy is doing quite well, back in the mid-2000s, you know, we saw upwards of 450. But since that time of neonates a year, since that time, we're around 250. So just because the horse population has decreased, but it's still, it's quite a large number when you think of some of these universities. When I used to work at University of California, Davis, you know, when we saw 40 foals, 50 foals, we were happy, you know, and out in California. So again, there are a lot of foals in this area that just because of the population of horses we have. It's not because they get sick because they're in Kentucky. It's just that we have a dense population of horses in this area.
Okay.
20-mile radius.
Yeah, we didn't know if there was an outbreak going on. That's what
all of a sudden, I'm like, seeing that many babies?
No.
What are people doing
wrong? It's just routine.
Yeah.
No. It's a lot of older mares, you know, as you get older. And the mares, too, you can have some problems with the pregnancy. It's just, this is part of life.
Just Just part of getting older.
And you guys are doing a lot more. And I'll get to EHV one, I promise. But it's your first time on the show, so we want to.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now you guys are doing a lot more with. You know, you've always been on the racing side and done some sport horses, but it's becoming a lot more sport horses now, isn't it?
Yeah, the landscape of Central Kentucky has definitely changed in the last 10 years. In regards to the sport horses, when I first arrived here, I swore I was never going to own a racehorse because I was into dressage and three-day eventing. So I brought my horses in from, I'm originally from Annapolis, Maryland. So rode out there, went to California, rode out there, and then brought my horses here in Kentucky, and that was just what I was going to do. And our practice, we had several vets that were doing sport horses at that time. We've expanded it. And a lot of our sport horse vets, excuse me, they're riders. You know, these people that, you know, ride and do the different disciplines themselves. So they have experience. They know what it takes. And then with myself, for some reason, I ended up adopting a foal that was sick, a thoroughbred, and I was going to use it as an eventer. And lo and behold, the horse I thought was fast. And I thought, well, I may try the racing thing. And then you get bit by the bug. And now my wife is a thoroughbred trainer. She used to do dressage. Now we train our own horses. I gallop them out in the field. Yeah, it's crazy. We got six race horses.
I was going to ask you how many you have now. Because as soon as you said, I'm not going to do the racehorse thing, yeah, that never happens.
That was the thing. No, and now what ends up happening, all of our show horses are out in the pasture, so all of our warm bloods, the Chicaners, the Hanoverians, and whatnot—they're all out in the pasture. And our racehorses now take up the 12-stall barn. And so
turn those warm bloods out.
Yeah, I know, crazy. Yeah, I mean they're fat and sassy now. So, and so a little change in our lifestyle. My wife and I—we thought we'd be competing dressage forever. You know, as you get older, you change your discipline, and we went from eventing to dressage.
Okay, that's how you know when your life has changed as a horse person, and is when the Tricaner is boring. We're getting on to more exciting things now. Tricaner,
exactly.
Backfield.
Well, you live in Kentucky. I mean, it's just a natural progression that everybody ends up in racing. You just have to. I mean, and you're a vet, so dear God, you can treat your own horses. You have no excuse to not have racehorses.
Yeah.
No excuse.
No, exactly. And you can't get any cheaper way of bringing up racehorses than having your wife as the trainer. I'm the exercise rider, and she is too. And we have fun doing it, so that's the crazy thing.
That is really cool.
That is really cool. That's really, really neat. And I'm sorry, there's no cheap way to have racehorses. Let's just be real.
You're right. I'm trying to get more people.
You're trying to get more people involved?
I'm trying to make it sound great.
I have to tell you, the marriages that are trainer, exercise rider, and vet are few and far between. There's not a lot.
Yeah,
that's
really between stupid people like myself.
You know. Like your life isn't busy enough. Well, let's talk EHV1. Boy, we've seen this in the news. It's just been going crazy in the news over the last month, I would say. So, and I know there's been reports of some down here in Wellington, near Wellington and Martin County, and just all over the country. Yeah.
Well,
so,
let's start with what it is.
Yeah, let's tell everybody. Back up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So to kind of give everybody an overview of what EHV is.
All right. Well, pretty much what EHV stands for is equine herpes virus. All right. And, and herpes virus can come in many different forms. In horses, now I'm not talking about donkeys, in horses there's five forms. So it's anything from respiratory problems to venereal disease to neurological form. And then there's some that can cause you to get fibrosis or the horse to get fibrosis in the lungs. They call it pulmonary fibrosis. And so we're going to talk about, and they're easy to remember. They're equine herpes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I'm sure there's others out there that we're studying. I'm sure in the next decade there are going to be more numbers attached to the equine herpes virus. But when you think of problems with horses or the thing that gets the headlines, is equine herpes type 1 and equine herpes type 4. Those are the ones we vaccinate for. When you think of the venereal disease, you can't vaccinate for that. That's type 3. Type 2, A lot of foals have it. It can be immunosuppressive. So this is, it just lowers your immune system when you're affected with it and can make you more susceptible to other infections. And that's equine herpes 2. Then equine herpes 5 is one in older horses can cause some pulmonary changes, lung changes, and get fibrosis in your lungs. If you get, if it's severe enough, by the time you find it, it's too late. You know, the permanent changes are there. And those are for older. And then when you talk about for donkeys, you have three forms there. It's type 1, 2, and 3. It's specifically for donkeys, and it's closely related to equine herpes 1 in horses. So those are the kinds of herpes there are. You think about five kinds. The number one is the one that can cause respiratory signs as well as neurological signs. But to confuse the issues, there have been cases of equine type 4, equine herpes type 4, which is primarily known for respiratory signs. Equine herpes type 4 can also cause neurological signs. And then to kick it all off, equine herpes 1 can also cause abortions. And that's a big thing that we're worried about here in Lexington or any breeding establishment.
Isn't there a vaccination for that, though? If people vaccinate appropriately?
Correct, yep. There's a variety of vaccines that are out in the market that can protect against type 1, so that are out there now. And now with all these different drug companies buying other drug companies up, they always change the names. But there's a product called Pneumabort, which is a very high load of dead virus particles that you can inject your horse with, and you can get a good protection to help prevent the abortions. But unfortunately, there's absolutely no vaccine on the market that can protect you against neurological form. Absolutely none. There's some studies that says one of the vaccines may help protect you. But again, it's one study with a handful of horses, and that's the modified live one called Rhinomune. But again, it's just a small study group. Bottom line is, all the experts say you really can't protect it right now against the neurological form.
So when we're seeing all of these EHV is shutting down facilities and quarantines going on, which form is that and what are the symptoms that we can be looking for?
All right. So what's going on? You were just talking about Payson Park, you know, the Thoroughbred Training Center down in Southern California that just had a recent case of herpes diagnosed there. EHV1. And so we're talking about type 1. That's the one that people get nervous about because it has many different facets to it, which means it can cause abortions, it can cause respiratory signs, and it can cause neurological signs. And the big thing is, when you have neurological signs, it can kill horses. So that's what gets scary. So that's why, and it's very highly contagious. But it's easily killed. You can kill it really easy with any of the disinfectants that are out in the market now. It's a wimp. You can kill it so easy. But that's the thing that is closing down the tracks. And the reason they're closing down the tracks is because it's very contagious. You can have it on your hands and pass it from horse to horse if you don't wash your hands properly. And the signs are, they're very vague. You have a fever. The horse ships on in and you have a fever. And you think, well, is that really herpes, or is that just because you got some low-grade pneumonia after a 10-hour trip from the Northeast down to Florida to get ready for your horses to be trained? You know, there's a variety of different causes for fevers, and 99% of them are no big deal. But the 1%, so to speak, can be the herpes virus, and that's where what happens is a horse has a fever, your veterinarian's doing blood work up, trying to figure out why, a day or two goes by, and the next thing you know, you have herpes virus. And you had a few days that went by that maybe people weren't wearing gloves, weren't properly washing their hands. Because how many people do that with a horse that has a fever? Not many people do that. And so they can spread it from horse to horse to horse. And there's a lot of traffic on the track. And if a horse is galloping by another horse and he blows his nose or something, that can aerosolize. And this herpes virus can spread 15 feet or so and can spread to another horse. And it just keeps going. And the crazy thing is, you know, when it comes to herpes viruses, once they get that virus and it's active, you know, it can get into nasal secretions within 24 hours. Within 24 hours, a horse can start to be spreading it.
Oh my gosh.
You know, so you can see how it can amp on up. So that's why it scares people. But if you take proper precautions, it's not going to go wildfire in your barn if you take proper precautions, and that's the key. Well, you know, the proper precautions. I can tell you years ago, before we knew more a lot about the herpes virus, you know, we had slings in our main barn here at Haggard's that we would get known herpes viruses into our facility. We would put them in a sling. And back then, the thought was, once a horse is neurologic, they can't spread the disease. I mean, that was the thought years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? The group in Ohio State learned that oh, that no. was not the fact. Because that was the Finley horse outbreak. That at Finley College, they had a bunch of horses get sick. They isolated herpes. Some of them got neurologic. They brought them to Ohio State. And so at that time at the veterinary school, they didn't take proper biosecurity, thinking, just like everybody else did, that you didn't have to, you know, it wasn't going to spread. Well, it spread like wildfire. And these horses could shed up to 21 days after infected. So that's another thing. That's why they put a quarantine on them for 21 days. Because it's been shown these horses can shed the virus up to 21 days. Even if they get over the illness, they can still shed it. But what I was trying to get back to was when we used to have these animals in slings here at Haggard's with our other horses, our protocol here at Haggard's, because I'm the biosecurity officer, so we need to protect our hospital from disease. So we always wore gloves. We always had hand wipes by the stall. And you know what? These are animals that were severely infected with herpes virus, that were in a sling. This is before we knew all this info. And we didn't have any outbreaks in our barns. We didn't have any problems because guess what? We washed our hands and we took the simple precautions. And
way to go, biosecurity officer. Good job.
Oh yeah. Watch out. Exactly. But no, but I mean, that's a simple thing. People get paranoid. People get scared because of the lack of knowledge.
And they get
frantic. They start moving horses when they shouldn't move horses. Just hold tight. You're going to be fine. Use proper hand hygiene, and you'll stop this dead in its tracks.
Now, is there a treatment for it? EHV1?
Yeah, great. Yeah, no, there is. There are some antiviral therapies on out there. They're human antivirals. One of the most common ones is valacyclovir. And the treatment is not cheap. You know, it can run, depending on where your source is, anywhere from $100 to $200 a day. And usually you treat for 7 to 14 days, depending on the severity of the horse. So there is some treatment if your horse has it. You can try to do the antivirals. And at the same time, you can do supportive care, fluid therapy, anti-inflammatories, anything you do to help prevent the inflammation of that brain because your spinal cord. Because that's where the herpes virus attacks, are the blood vessels supplying the uterus and the foal, the blood vessels in the spinal cord and the brain. It can affect those areas. And it's just essentially you're getting a stroke. You know, you're disrupting the blood flow.
What percentage do we lose a lot with EHV1 or is, you know?
You had an excellent question. We've been looking at the outbreaks, and this is going back on outbreaks from Finley years ago in 2000, and I think it was 2006, we had one at Turfway Park. And you look at the morbidity, mortality, is you're talking less than 10%.
Okay.
You know, 10% or so that get the disease. If they get neurologic, they may end up succumbing to the disease and die. But again, it's not, you know, a lot of these animals can end up survive and do okay. But the mortality is going to be less than 10%. Most of the time, it's less than 5% of the affected animals, you know, when you're looking at outbreaks.
So is there like a long-term effect of, say you have a performance horse that's going out and running eventing and comes down with it, will it ever event at the same level again?
Oh, great. Another great question. And that was, they looked at some of the data on the Finley horses because they had a bunch of horses that were affected up in the Finley College up in Ohio. And so what they did, out of the 32 animals that were neurologic, they did a 6-month evaluation. And they can only follow 26 of them that were available for an exam. They don't want to do a phone call exam. The vets want to go out there and take a look. All right? So 8 of those horses that had mild grades of neurological condition, all of them were 100% in 6 months. Okay? You're looking at another 6 that had neurologic, which if you took the horse out of the stall, it may trip or stumble on itself. All the horses were back at work and doing well. Huh. And the worst of the worst horses, I'm talking horses that you didn't want to get in the stall because they may fall down on you. Half of them were back in full work in 6 months, and the other half were still recovering. So, lesson to be told, if you've got mild neurological conditions, you should be able to make a full recovery. So ones that have severe neurological disease, 50% of them, at least at 6 month recheck, will get back and have no deficits and be able to be ridden, and or they may not have no deficits. They may have such a mild deficit, but they could still be ridden and go back into full work.
So the moral of the story again, that I'm hearing is don't panic. Call your vet, get them out there before you panic. You can panic after your vet gives you permission, but don't panic first.
Exactly. And horses will not shed the virus until they start spiking. And most of the time, it's not 100% true, but majority of the cases are, once a horse spikes a fever, then they'll start shedding the virus. So the main thing is, if you have an outbreak situation, just monitor your horse's temperatures. If you start spiking a fever, then you can talk to your veterinarian and decide, do you put them on treatment early with antivirals if you can afford it? Or do you revaccinate them? Do you put them on some immunoboosters? There's a product called Zylexis that's out there on the market that's been proven to show the fight against EHV4, type 4. But we don't know about type 1. But the viruses are so closely related, you would think it can cross-react and boost the horse's natural immunity against herpes virus type 1. So there's different products on out there that you and your veterinarian can talk about, the how to prevent your horse from getting sick, or if it's already has a fever, about how to prevent it from getting worse off. And again, not every horse that gets herpes virus, is EHV1, or is going to get neurologic. You know, not every one of them is going to get that, you know, just because you're exposed. Yeah.
All right. Very good.
So,
well, you can find out more also by visiting the website at hagyard.com. Haggard.com is the website. There's more information on there about everything that goes on over there as well. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Slovis. This has been an interesting experience, and we're very happy to have you on board talking about things that scare all of us horse owners to death. And, you know, at the end of each one of these, we say the same thing for the last 5 years. Every week at the end of each one of these segments, we go, there are more things that can kill a horse. And most of the time it's just themselves doing stupid stuff. But it's amazing any of them live to be 30. It's just amazing when you hear about all the things that can happen. But we appreciate you helping us out, and thank you for the work you do. And good luck with your ponies, your race ponies.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. It's my pleasure.
All right. Take care, Dr. Slovis.
And you. Cheers.
I think it's going to be a good series, too, because they have so many different experts on so many different things. And, you know, when you do hear EHV1, especially the way the press writes about it, it makes it sound like every horse dies and they're all going to die within 2 minutes.
It's you said it's a wonder that any of them lived to 30. The a-holes lived to 30. The salty, unloving, a-hole horses live to 30.
It's just like and cats. The ones cats are that way, too.
They just won't die. The mean cats. But your nice, sweet, loving horse, or your loving cat, or your loving dog, cut short. All the time.
When he said it was about $100 a day for the medicine, I thought of Lucky, and I thought, wow, that's cheaper than Lucky.
Wow. Better to have herpes than to have bad ears.
To have a basset hound with bad ears. All right, let's talk about your head. How's your head doing?
My head is actually just fine. Thank you for asking. And
because it's only been a week since you fell off. Or it's only been a week since the wipeout.
I did not fall off.
I know. I'm sorry. I caught myself.
I went down with him, by God. No, it happened on, I believe, the 21st. or 22nd. I can't remember. Anyway, so I was riding Thor, and I tell you what, every other part of my body still hurts,
yeah,
but my head is fine. I was out riding Thor on a walk trail ride. I was riding Thor and leading Zeus, two wild Mustangs. Freak accident. I've thought about it 100 times. Is there anything I could have done different? Was I doing anything stupid? Not doing anything stupid, just a normal out walking around. Had to move over. So a car, we call it rush hour in Waddell. A truck had to go by. So, and it was like 5 o'clock traffic. One truck. We move over on somebody's driveway. A dog comes out to the solid fence behind, you know, right behind us. Thor just spooks a touch and he falls. I mean, he slips on the pavement, goes down. I break my foot. My knee is damaged. My hip is like this colors that I've never seen. The elbow, the shoulder, and the only thing that didn't hurt, my God, was my head. And it was because I was wearing my Ovation helmet. And you guys, seriously, like, if I was going to not wear my helmet, it would be on a walk around the neighborhood trail ride. But that's where the stuff, you know, the biggest crashes in your car happen when you're closest to home. I was literally 200 yards from my house when it happened. So you just never know what can happen. So wear your helmet. And I love Ovation. Go to ovationriding.com because I love their products so much. And I love their helmets. And their helmets, you can actually... How many times have you had an ill-fitting helmet? You're just like, just a little bit loose, it's a little too tight. These have the little dials in the back where you can adjust. I'm like doing it while I'm talking to you. Like I'm reaching to the back of my head. Why? You can't see me. I don't know why I'm doing that. But you can adjust the dial in the back of the head to make it just fit perfect. You know, say you stuff your ponytail up under it. You know, you need to tighten it under the just... Easy, easy, easy. So go to ovationriding.com. If you have a helmet that's 5 years old, they recommend you get a new one. If you are like me and you have a crash in your helmet and your helmet saves your life or just hits the ground, you probably should go ahead and get a new one. So I'm Ovation shopping actually right now because I haven't got my new one yet. So anyway, go check them out at ovationriding.com. You can find their boots, you can find tack and equipment and stirrup leathers and lead lines and bridles and girths and show coats. I mean, they have everything. So ovationriding.com.
On the helmet topic, one of the stories I saw today was the death of another barrel racer who was not wearing a helmet. And now there is a growing movement on the Western side and in the rodeo world.
How many times have we heard that crap, though? It's ridiculous.
Well, and this is interesting. It is interesting, though, because there's a website called, I'd never heard of it before I saw this article, and the article was on Horse Collaborative. There's a website called HelmetTough.com. And they did a study in the Western world in the rodeo industry about helmets, and the survey found they tried to determine why riders are not wearing helmets. And 50% of the respondents stated that they wanted to wear a helmet while riding, but the stigma associated with them was too much for them to make the switch.
I barrel raced in Texas, Glenn, and I was the only one, me and like a 2-year-old were the only people wearing helmets at this barrel.
This website now is from the Western world. You know, there's Riders for Helmets, which really got its start on the English side, right, in the dressage world, and made huge changes in the way that the dressage riders ride, right?
Right.
Thanks to Courtney King Dye and the work of Lindsay White and everybody. But now this is on the Western side, and it's called HelmetTough.com. And they sell shirts, and they're really trying to get the word out. And like the shirt on the thing says, not scared, smart. You know, they're really out promoting. They're getting pictures to send it or getting people to send in pictures. There's a T-shirt that you can get that says stop the stigma, helmet tough. So they're really trying to change the way people think about it. And that's the only way it's going to change.
I don't get it. They are galloping circles around heavy metal barrels, and their head is inches from it.
At full blast, 30 miles an hour. Yep.
Full blast. And it just doesn't make any sense to me. But,
hopefully it's websites like this and it's movements like this within their own community that are going to help change it. And
I had a dressage woman stop. Gosh, this woman that lives in our neighborhood, she's just a nightmare. And she's always, if she sees me outside, she always stops and tries to sell me a horse. Every time. She pulls her truck in my driveway.
Does she see your paddock? You don't have room for another horse.
Every time. She's tried to sell me the same horse for like 2 years. Nobody will buy it. It's crazy. So anyway, she stops and she sees me. And I was going to invite you to come out and try out Valentino. But I see you're not going to be able to ride him. I'm like, good God, I'm not going to ride your crazy horse. It's just, I'm not buying your horse. Anyway, but I didn't say that. I said, yeah, I'm in a cast. I'm on crutches. Well, were you wearing your helmet? Because I don't know if you've ever heard of this person, but that whole dressage, she's like a know-it-all. That whole dressage movement where people wear their helmets started with this woman named Courtney King Dye. And Courtney King Dye, and gives me like this dissertation on Courtney King Dye. But yet this woman does not wear a helmet when she rides because,
just happens.
And I'm like,
because it doesn't happen to, it will never happen to her, which is why. Yep.
Anyway, there you go. That's if you know who I'm talking about in my neighborhood, you know who I'm talking about.
Well, crazy. Does she know you've talked to Courtney King Dye many times?
I didn't tell her that. I have no interest in letting anybody that I know that I have this show because I talk about you and I don't want you to know it. So I'm not like, I've interviewed her several times. She's on my radio show. Because then I have to go, I have a radio show about horses. And I talk about you because you're just terrible. What am I supposed to say? So now I'm like, oh, really? Wow. Courtney King Dye, huh? That's amazing.
Well, let's get a little lighter on the show here right after we hear our song. And then I'm going to talk to you. I was thinking about you because your foot's up. And I know you have a little more board time than you usually do. So I have a solution that we're going to get to right after we hear from Fleur Magali with The One I Love. We'll be right back.
Please let me feel that your love for me is real. Cause my home is in your arms. Let us share all the secrets we've ever had. You're the one, no matter what others say. My life and it's my heart. I let you in, won't let you down. Cause it's you I have searched and found. If you only knew, you're the one I love. You gone, broke my heart, and I'm undone.
Haggard Equine Medical Institute in Lexington, Kentucky and Wellington, Florida has been treating racehorses, sport horses, and beloved pasture ornaments for 140 years. With some 30 ambulatory doctors, 24-hour emergency care, full surgical suite, dedicated sport horse facility, wide range of proven therapies, and full-service pharmacy, Haggard offers everything your horse needs for the proper diagnosis and best treatment. Visit Haggard.com for more information, or you can call them at 859-255-8741. Follow Haggard Equine Medical Institute on Facebook or on Twitter, at Haggard, and receive health alerts and the latest information on keeping your horse healthy and happy.
Well, you know, I'm a giver, Jamie. You know that. Oh, I love to support you in everything you do, and I'm concerned about you. I think about you all day long, sitting there with your big cast on your foot, your big walking thing that weighs about 1,000 pounds, and your crutches and everything. And I think about how bored you must get now and how cranky you're getting. I have something to help while away many hours.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, it's called theuselessweb.com. Have you ever heard of the Useless Web?
I have not.
Well, at the you go to theuselessweb.com, and it just is this banner that says, take me to a useless website. And you you click the please, and that's what it does. It takes you to a useless website. And there were websites that just had, they had some of the stupidest stuff, including the disturbing one of the dog licking the screen. Came across that one. By the way, you will kill hours with this, just clicking on useless websites. And I'm sure that half of them have viruses or whatever, you know. But
do they?
I don't know.
Am I screwed? Because I just opened one that's called burymewithmymoney.com.
There are some of the most useless things. There's some that just have one thing on the page. There's others that have like a music or a song or something really stupid. But anyway, I came across this one called it's called Just Shower Thoughts. That's right. It's called Just Shower Thoughts. That's what the website is. And it's just this list of things that people think about when they're in the shower. So I thought some of them were funny. How about this one? This is the things we think about when we're in the shower. When we're old, we won't be screaming, get off my lawn, while shaking our fists. Our generation will be yelling, get off my Wi-Fi, while making passive-aggressive memes. Jennifer got that one.
I'm sorry. I'm staring at a website called thatsthefinger.com, and it's a pixelated finger shooting me the bird. Sorry.
There you go. Once self-driving cars come out, saying you drive automatic and manual will mean something completely different.
So true.
How about this while you're in the shower? Lorde became rich and famous through a song about how she'll never become rich and famous. One of her first songs. No matter when in human history you go back to, you had a relative who was alive. Isn't that interesting to think about?
Wait, say that again? I was watching somebody get slapped in the face with an eel on eelslap.com.
See, I told you. No matter when in human history you go back to, you had a relative who was alive.
Ooh, that's deep thoughts.
Isn't that
Jack
deep?
Andy over there.
Yeah, well, you're in the shower. You know, and not all of us are allowed to sing in the shower because we're so bad, so you think about things. You know you're becoming an adult when you already own most of the needed ingredients for a recipe.
That's so true. I'm like, oh my God, I can make that? Like right now? Exactly. I do that all the time. Like, oh my gosh, I have that. I have cornstarch.
That's how you know you're an adult. when back to the college days when there was only ramen noodles. That was it. I can never flirt with an attractive bank teller because she will always know how poor I really am.
Oh, yeah. That's don't even hit on him. They're like, oh, my God, he's really cute. Like, oh, wait.
Yeah,
oh,
wait. He's minus $12 in his account.
He's $12.
He bounced 12 checks this week. Brake light should show the intensity of how hard someone is braking. That's true. Because all you see is the lights. And you don't know, are they slowing or are they, like, stopped in the middle of the road? So, yeah, especially at night. That one's tough.
That's good. I like that.
So that's Just Shower Thoughts, one of the many wonderful things I found on theuselessweb.com. Just for you.
Well, let me see here. I'll click on it one more time. Republic of Mangoes. It's a French website, and it's a picture of a mango. This is worthless. It's almost like they're all useless websites.
Oh, that's right. The uselessweb.com. Nice. Hey, did you hear about the racehorse Rebel Rover in Australia?
I was just going to tell you about that. Tell us
about it.
Talk about a fit horse. Yeah. So this is a racehorse that a guy is, they have a bay kind of near the track. So the exercise rider had him out in the water. I mean, what a great way to condition a horse, I guess, you know, take him out to the water. And something happened, probably, you know, like a shark, because that's what happens in water. It grabbed his foot and the horse freaked out, spooked, dumps the rider. Instead of, he was only like a couple feet out, you know, in the water. But instead of sprinting for shore, he turns and like swims away. Off into the sea, leaves everybody and all the horses and fly, goes, swims out to sea. So this happened Thursday morning, and they had to call, you know, the volunteer marine rescue in Brisbane. Again, this is Australia. They mobilized. It took them 90 minutes to finally get him back to shore. So basically they reached, their boat reached Rebel Rover, who's just heading out, just totally deep water, can't touch the ground, swimming out into the middle of nothing. They maneuvered their boat really close and like were able to get a rope around his head. They pulled him close and then they attached a rope, a clip to his bridle, I guess a lead rope to his bridle. I love the picture of them actually leading the horse in, because there's some Australian dude who is leaning over the boat and his, well, he's kind of got a little bit of plumber's butt and he's got a lower back tattoo that looks like two angry eyes.
It does. And when I looked at that picture first, I went, what the hell is that?
I wonder what's further down. I mean, like, I don't want to know, but you can't quite see his butt crack. But like, this has gone viral and this poor guy is showing off.
This horse swam 1.25 miles, 1.25 miles.
They said that it is estimated that he had over a 2-hour swim before they finally got him out. He is enjoying his rest time to recover from his ordeal. Like, you want to get a sucker fit, man. Swim him for 2 hours. Usually if you swim a horse, you swim him for like 4 minutes. I mean, it's a really, really tough work. So, I mean, they got him and they had to rope him. They got him close and they pulled him close to thing, and then I guess once they got him close enough to shore, the rider hopped back on him and rode him out of the water. So I don't know what they were expecting him to do, but I guess he's getting a little R&R, and I love it that his name is Rebel Rover. Yeah, that's perfect.
He was gone. he was doing his thing.
He was out of there, that's for sure.
You know, there's a video going viral here in Florida too. This Florida woman captured a video of a horse parked in a disabled parking space outside of a Jacksonville business. Now, it doesn't say what the business is, but I'm kind of guessing a bar. That's my guess. The horse was tied to the post right there, standing right in the middle of the disabled parking space. And she filmed it. And it was so funny listening to her, because the horse started moving her way a little bit and she like freaked out.
Oh.
But it says here, and I love the last line of this article, it was unclear whether the horse, which appeared to be wearing a Confederate flag inspired bridle, had permission to be in the parking lot, or whether the owner had the proper placard to be using the disabled space.
Oh.
My guess is he was in the bar. That's my guess. Even in Jacksonville, you've got the guys who ride their horse to the bar. Because why not? They know the way home. How many of the times have we had this story?
Too many times, but you can't. I'm sorry. You know what my mama used to say when I was little?
Don't ride your horse to the bar?
That wasn't even like an idea in her mind. What she would say, though, is don't you park in a handicap spot. God'll make. She goes, you park in a handicap spot, God'll make you handicap. And I've never parked in handicaps. I can't even like in a waiting area, like pull into a handicap spot. My mama always haunts me. Something she said really stuck with me. And that's one of those can't. So I couldn't park a horse in there, make my horse handicapped. That'd be even worse.
I got to tell you, if you didn't get a chance yet, Jamie, head back to yesterday's show. Emily was back and we did the jumper show.
Oh, I just listened to Debbie's show yesterday.
And we had a couple of, she had a jumper and a couple of Hunter writers on, and it was a George Morris themed show because his book's coming out. So the talk was all about all of the people that were on the show yesterday, including Emily, had taken clinics with George Morris, and they were telling their funniest George Morris clinic stories. You've got to listen to yesterday's show. It was hilarious.
Well, and he remembered her. He yes. remembered when we interviewed him. Yes. He remembered.
So we discussed whether we were going to have him back, you know, because his book's coming out. And I said you were a little nervous. Emily said she would assist you. She would come on and help you do the interview.
That'd be great, because you were no help.
No, I just basically bailed on you and said, okay, I want to hear what happens.
Yeah, Emily's co-hosting that day for sure. Hey, also, the Horsemanship Radio was awesome. Yeah. Ben Masters, who is from Unbranded.
Oh, yeah, Monty, the main guy. He was the main guy in Unbranded, right?
The main guy in Unbranded, Monty interviewed him. And it was just like the two dudes sitting around talking. It was really, really cool. I turned it off before I heard me on the show, so
I tell everybody why you're on the show.
She's so cool. So Monty does this Q&A session where you can every week he sends on an email of him answering a question that was sent in to him. And when I met him, I was like, you don't really like write those, right? And he absolutely answers the question and he talks and Debbie dictates it. And it is something that they do at like dinner every week. So he answers these questions. Like he'll ask Monty segment on their website. And she really wanted to make sure that a lot more people knew about those and heard those. So she emails them to me and I read the question and the answer on the air. And I send them to her and she puts them in wherever she wants. And it's so awesome to be in charge of reading something that he said. I don't know. It's not like I'm his voice or anything, but it's a really neat kind of thing that I get to do. So I was honored to do it. And she's like, I'll pay you. I'm like, don't you dare. Like, this is my honor and pleasure to be able to do this.
That's horsemanshipradio.com is where you can find. And also on our app, just search for Horse Radio Network in the App Store. It's one of the 9 shows on there. And I yesterday was an interesting, I hear that Luke is, was that screaming because he was being tortured or was he happy? I couldn't tell.
I think it was Daddy and him playing.
Okay, good. Because it rather sounded like somebody was pulling out his fingernails.
Sure. At this point in the morning, Daddy usually hasn't fed him. And so it's like you're teetering on the edge of happy and freak out because he's hungry. So I better go feed
You know, that doesn't change as you get older. I'm 53 and I'm still that way. So
you're like, I'm trying to have fun, but I'm so hungry.
I'm so hungry.
Cry.
It never changes for guys. I don't know about women, but that never changes for guys. Well,
can you say hi, Glenn?
Hi, baby Luke. I can't call him baby Luke anymore. Toddler he's Luke. Like,
toddler. He's Nightmare Luke is what he is.
Nightmare Luke. I like that name. I grew up with a complex.
Tornado baby. Here he comes.
All right. That's it for everybody. We will be back tomorrow with the Australian episode. And Lord knows what.
Glenn,
yes.
Didn't you forget to press a button?
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No, right after the song.
You didn't forget to. Bad me.
Glenn, Jennifer, say it so Glenn can record
wait a minute. Let me write this down. We are at 1 hour and 30 minutes. Go ahead.
I was wrong.
Yes.
Now fell out of it. Glenn, you were right.
Glenn was right.
She doesn't sound very sincere about it, does she? I don't get that very often. I'm going to play that over. I'm going to put that right with the one where Jamie said last week I was right. That's the first time in 8 years any of my co-hosts have said I was right about something.
Well, that's why I made her do it, because I knew I had done it too. And it's going to be his ringtone now. All he needs is Helena saying, oh, God, you're so smart.
I'll never get that from Helena. All right, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Australian episode. Oh, really bad ads on Friday. We're going to pick the winner for last month's prize. So we will pick the winner there on Friday, and we'll announce the new prize for the next month. But you're going to need to get your ads in. And Jennifer, I'm sure, has some accumulated, so you want to make sure they're good. Get them into her.
Jen, I'm sending you some good ones that somebody sent me. Oh, my goodness. Oh, hello.
All right. That's it for today.
All right, everybody have a good one. Spay, neuter, geld.
Dog with him. Sounds like somebody poked him with the pen.